Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed Ches. We're holding on daf Kuf Lamed Zayin and Beis. We're about to begin the 20th parak of Maseches Shabbos. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Zchus Rafua Shlema for Mayor Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. Also sponsored by Glenn and Debbie Pfeiffer in honor of the bris of their grandson, which will Mirza Hashem be Beito Bizmano on Thursday, tomorrow. And it's also sponsored by the Halevi family in honor of the Bar Mitzvah of Netanel Adar Halevi, an avid, dedicated listener who's been keeping up with the daf via this year. May the merit of his learning be a bracha for Klal Yisrael and a refuah for the entire world. That's a pretty special one. Mazel Tov on his Bar Mitzvah, and he should keep on learning daf achar daf and finish Shas many, many times and be a source of nachas to everybody. Okay, so we are holding on daf Kuf Lamed Zayin and Beis. We're at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to discuss hanging a strainer on Shabbos and using the strainer on Shabbos, allowing things to strain on both Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Gemara is then going to discuss about adding on to an Ohel Arayah, and that's going to be the majority of the daf is Asiyas Ohel and being mosif on an Ohel. The Gemara is going to discuss whether putting up a strainer is an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan, whether the straining itself is an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan, what sort of malacha would it be. We're going to have a collection of different psakim, piskei halacha from Abaye, but again, as I said, most of the daf is going to be about making an Ohel, making an Ohel Arai, and then at the end of the daf we're going to have a little bit about the state of Torah knowledge La'asid Lavo. At some point in the future, we'll discuss exactly at what point in the future it's talking about how Torah knowledge is going to suffer at some point in the future. So says the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Zayin and Beis. Rabbi Elazar Omer told us a Mishmeres B'Yom Tov. A person can set up a strainer on Yom Tov in order to strain his wine, to strain the sediment and the guk out of the wine. V'nosel L'Tliya B'Shabbos. And on Shabbos, if it's already set up, you're allowed to put the wine through the strainer on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to set up the strainer on Shabbos. And apparently it's not considered to be a violation of Borer, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So this is the second parak in a row that begins with the words Rabbi Eliezer Omer. So we call the parak Tolin because we just had Rabbi Eliezer de Milo. So we don't have two parakim named after Rabbi Eliezer. So we call it after the very next word in the parak, which is Tolin. So Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, which is how the parak starts, is that you're allowed to put the wine through the strainer on Shabbos, and it's not an Isser of Borer, apparently, because, as Rashi explains, Ein Derech Borer Bekach. That is not the normal way one does Borer. So the Rashi explains, what does that mean? It's not the normal way one does Borer. He says, because you're not doing a Maisa B'Yadayim. The wine just strains itself. You just put it into the strainer, and then it strains itself out. In the Piskei Arid, he says another reason that it's Mutter, because Ein Borer Achar Borer, that primarily the Borer is done in the gas, in the wine press itself, and this is just a little bit of extra that's left after the initial borer is done. Same borer after borer, this is not a real act of borer, this is just a secondary act of borer. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chachamim say, no, you're not even allowed to set up a strainer on Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to put something into the strainer on Shabbos. The only thing you're allowed to do is if the strainer is already set up from beforehand, you're allowed to put the wine in the strainer, but only on Yom Tov, because apparently that's considered a malacha of Ochel Nefesh, so for Ochel Nefesh we're going to allow it, but on Shabbos, where you're not allowed to do even a malacha of Ochel Nefesh, you're not allowed to set it up. The Rashba raises the question, how would they allow straining wine in the Mishmeres on Yom Tov because of Ochel Nefesh? Even malachas Ochel Nefesh, you're not allowed to do Al Yidei Akli. That's a Mishnah Maseches Beitza. You're not allowed to be Borer Kitnis on Yom Tov Al Yidei Nafa V'Kavra by using some sort of a Kli. So in Bir Alach and Simin Tov Kuf Yud, he says it's Dafka Lidei Nafa V'Kavra that it's Aser, because it's derech the derech is to be borer massive quantities through such kalim. So that is what you're not allowed to do Al Yidei Kli on Yom Tov, to do it to do a type of borer that's normally done with high quantities. But straining wine in the Mishmeres, even though yes, it is a Kli that is designated for borer, but they were matir it because it's generally done only to strain as much wine as one would need for that day. That's how the Bir Alach explains in Simin Tav Kuf Yud. So says the Gemara, asking on the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, who allows the setting up of the strainer, meaning it should be clear clear. There are two separate Yisurim that our Mishnah deals with. One is an offshoot of the Melach of Bona, and that is setting up the strainer, and the other is an offshoot of some other Melach of Bora and Merake. The Gemara will discuss exactly, but of separating two things out, of putting the wine through the strainer, where you're separating out the wine from the sediment that's left behind. So says Gemara, Hashem, Rabbi Elazar, Sufiyo, Larai, Lomas Finan, Lemevel, Chadchil, Shari. Wait a second, Rabbi Elazar doesn't even allow being Mosif, Alo, Larai. And all of a sudden, in our Mishnah, he's going to allow you to set up the strainer to build an Oel. So says Gemara, Mahi, where do you find that Rabbi Elazar doesn't even allow being Mosif, Alo, Larai? To Tanan, it's a Mishnah we already had back on Daf. If you have a window shutter, Rabbi Elazar Rizman Shakashru Bitavli Pokekin Bo, that only if it's tied onto the window and hanging from the window, suspended from the window, only then are you allowed to shutter the window on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because since it is already really attached on and part of the building from Erev Shabbos and from Erev Yom Tov, so it's not considered a violation of Bona and being Mosef Allah Ohel. But Vimlav, but if it's not tied onto the window, or it's tied on, but it's not suspended, it's dragging on the ground, then ain pokekimbo, you're not allowed to use such a window shutter, because that is considered to be mosif al ohel arai. The Chum or Menkach or Menkach pokekimbo, the Chum disagree, and they say that even if it's not suspended in midair, and it's not tied on to the window, you're still allowed to shutter the window. But we're focused now on Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, that we're trying to show that Rabbi Eliezer generally holds, you're not even allowed to be mosif al ohel arai. And yet in our Mishnah, he allows you to even build the Noel. So Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan explained that machlokas about the pekaka chalon is that a kol modim sheinos and ol arai betchila, that everyone seems to agree you're not allowed to construct an ol arai to like take four poles and put a canopy over them. Be yom tov, you're not allowed to do such a thing on yom tov. Vein sarach lomar b'shabbos, and obviously you're not allowed to do such a thing on Shabbos. Lo nechluku ela lo hosif. The whole machlokas come in Rabbi Eliezer is, can you be mosif to an already existing Oel Arai? Rabbi Eliezer Omer in mosif in b'yom tov ein tzorech lomar b'shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer says you're not even allowed to do that in yontif, let alone on Shabbos. V'cham omrim mosif in b'shabbos ein tzorech lomar b'yom tov. V'cham say you're allowed to be mosif in Oel Arai even on Shabbos, and therefore obviously on yom tov you're also allowed to. So pekakach alone, which is not kosher v'talui, is only a tosefes on an Oel Arai. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's usher to do so because you're being mosif alo Oel Arai, and it looks like a malacha of bona, whereas according to the Chum, it's going to be mutter. So there you have it, explicit, that Rabbi Elazar asers even being mosif on Oel Arai. So for sure he's going to aser making an Oel Arai initially on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So how does he allow setting up the mishmera, setting up the strainer on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So that is the kasha. So answers the Gemara, even though setting up a strainer is an Isra Midrabanan, Rabbi Lezer is still going to allow it, because Rabbi Lezer Savlak Rabbi Yehuda, he assumes like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda about Machshirei Ochal Nefesh on Yom Tov. D'tanya, Eim Ben Yom Tov the Shabbos al Ochal Nefesh Bilvad, but Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Machshirei Ochal Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is that not only do we allow Ochal Nefesh Melachos to be done on Yom Tov, we even allow preparatory work for Ochal Nefesh to be done on Yom Tov. You're allowed to be Mesakin the Kalim for which you're going to need to do the Ochal Nefesh work. So setting up the strainer is Machshirei Ochal Nefesh. Say Nachnami, Rabbi Eliezer admits that to build the strainer to set up such a binyan, such an Oel Arai, is normally Asar on both Shabbos and Yom Tov. But over here, this is an Ochal Nefesh need, and even though it's not direct Ochal Nefesh, it's only Machshirei Ochal Nefesh, Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you're allowed to do Machshirei Ochal Nefesh on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, no, but even Rabbi Yehuda didn't go that far. Eimer d'shaminu le Rabbi Yehuda b'machshirin she'ef shalasos ha'merev Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda only allows machshirei ochel nefesh when you had no other option, when you could not have done it before Yom Tov with equal effectiveness. Something broke. You had the spit that you roast things on that broke on Yom Tov. So now you need to be misaking it. You couldn't have done that before Yom Tov because it wasn't broken yet on Erev Yom Tov. That's where Rabbi Yehuda allows it. But machshirin she'ef shalasos ha'merev Yom Tov mishamalei, does he hold such that you're allowed to do machshirim that you could have done on Erev Yom Tov, like setting up the mishmeres? Says Mer, no, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that far, but the Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yehuda takes it one step further. Rabbi Yehuda only allows machshirei ochel nefesh that you could not have done from Erev Yom Tov, and Rabbi Lezer is matter, even machshirei ochel nefesh that you could have done from Erev Yom Tov, and therefore he allows setting up the strainer on Yom Tov. Meaning, that Rabbi Eliezer goes a step further than Rabbi Yehuda. So there are three days details about Machshiri Ochel Nefesh. The Chum say it's totally Yasser. Rabbi Yehuda is Matir, which that you could not have done on Erev Yom Tov, and Rabbi Lazar is Matir even with that which you could have done on Erev Yom Tov. And the way the Rashba understands, even if it's a Malacha D'Horaisa, where Tosos over here understands, no, that's only if it's a Malacha D'Rabbanan that Rabbi Lazar is going to be so Mekil. And then there's a Tosos in Maseches Psachim that says, no, it's only by Tlias Mishmeres, it's only by setting up a Mishmeres that Rabbi Eliezer is so Mekil. That's Tosos in Psachim and Daf Samaches and Beis. Tosos asks in the name of the Rash HaKohen that there's a Stira in Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, because in the Mishnah over there it says that according to Rabbi Eliezer you're not allowed to do Machshiri Yachol Nefesh, that you could have done an Erev Yom Tov on Yom Tov, whereas over here it says explicitly that he's Adif Amid Rabbi Yehuda, that he does allow it. So that's what Tosos says over there, that when we say that Rabbi Eliezer is Matir to do Machshiri Yachol Nefesh, even though you could have done it on Erev Yom Tov, it doesn't mean all Machshiri Nefesh. It means Tlias Mishmeres, because it's not really so similar to a Malacha. So it's Dafka hanging such a strainer that he allows it. So three Shitos in Tanaim and three Shitos in Rishonim, how to understand this Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Is Rabbi Eliezer Matir all Machshiri Yachol Nefesh, even Doraisa? All Machshiri Yachol Nefesh that are Drabanan, but not Doraisa, or only this one example of Machshiri Yachol Nefesh, which is setting up the strainer? But either way, Rabbi Eliezer certainly takes this heter a little further than Rabbi Yehuda was willing to take it. So now says the Gemara further. The Mishnah had said, the Chum had said that you're not even allowed to be Tola a Mishmeres and Yom Tov, and obviously not on Shabbos. So, Ibailuhu, Tola Mai. If you are Tola a Mishmeres, you set up the strainer. What's Halacha? Is it Yechayev Chatas? Is it Nisid Doraisa? Is it Patrav Lasser? Nisid Rabbanan? So, Rav Yosef, Tola, Chayev Chatas. If you did it Bishogeg, you're Chayev Chatas, meaning it's Malacha Doraisa. Amle Abayis, Abayis says, yeah, Elameata, Tola Kuza, Besichsa, if you set up a small kli on a peg, Hachinami de Mechayev, you can say Yechayev Chatas for that as well. That's for sure not. It's not an Ol Keva, it's only an Ol Arai. So setting up a Mishmer should be the same thing. It's not a real binyan, it's an Ol Arai. So why in the world would you be Chayev Chatas for such a thing? Ella Amra Abaye Midrabanan, who shall yasa Kedar Shrosa Bechol. No, this is only a Din Midrabanan, and this is the reason the Rabbanan asked of it is that we're afraid that a person is going to do the way he normally does on a weekday, as opposed to if you hang a Kli on a peg or something, that's not even an Issa Drabanan, because that's not a violation of Uvdin Dechol. But we assume that setting up the strainer is a violation of Uvdin Dechol. Chazanish says, what's the difference between putting the Kli on the peg and setting up the strainer? So he says, when you put the Kli on the peg, you don't stretch it out, you just hang it there. Or he says, when you put the Kli on the peg, it's not Meshamish the area underneath it. Or that when you set up the strainer, it's Derech Shimush. When you put the Kli on the peg, it's Derech Shimush, it's not Derech Binyan. So for some reason, this looks less like a weekday activity when you put a Kli on a peg, when you hang a Kli on a peg, than when you set up a strainer on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But the whole issue is only in this Midrabanan of Uvda D'chol. Uvda D'chol is an elusive concept to figure out exactly what the Geder of Uvda D'chol is. There's a major discussion in Poskim, and essentially I think Chaznish writes that it's up to the Chacham of Kol Dor V'Dor to figure out what's considered Uvda D'chol and what's not considered Uvda D'chol. How do you know when something is Uvda D'chol? Is essentially it's a form of Zilzal Shabbos. It's not, there's no formal definition. Some of the Poskim try to come up with a formal definition, but there's definitely no obvious formal definition of the Dechol, right? The Gemara gives the example, if you use a brush to brush, that's normally used to brush an animal, which would therefore involve Malacha of Gozes, so that's Uvda Dechol, to use such a brush, even in a way that it's not going to pull anything off of the animal. What is that exactly? What are the Gedarim? Again, not abundantly clear what's called Uvda Dechol. Someone was just telling me that they asked Rabbi Sabalevsky was here in Camp Keli this past Shabbos, so someone asked Rabbi Sabalevsky whether kids riding on scooters is a violation of Zilzal Shabbos. And he said, absolutely. It's a terrible violation of Zilzal Shabbos. And they asked Rabbi First in Chicago, as a Chashuv Talmud Chacham and Posek in Chicago, he said, absolutely not. Not a violation of Zilzal Shabbos to have kids riding around on scooters. Meaning it's these kinds of things, these kinds of concepts. It's really a judgment call. And different posts, you know, there's not no raya. You can bring a raya, whether riding on a scooter for a six-year-old is a Zilzal Shabbos. There's no raya. It's just a matter of sensitivity of what a person feels that it is. So Uvda D'chol might be such a concept. Might not be, but it might be such a similar type of concept. So Now the Gemara brings a number of Piskei Halacha that Abaye had. Mankat Abaye Chumre Masniasa. Abaye collected different dinim that you find in various brisos. Vitani, and he taught them all together at one shot. So first he taught that which you're allowed to do that's Patra Velasir. So he said, Hagud, if you have a sack that's made out of leather and it's sewn on the edge and it's wide at the top and has strings hanging down from it, so people who travel will fill it up with milk or with wine, and when they pitch their tents to sleep, they would tie it onto four pegs that are stuck into the ground, and then the wind will come and will blow and will keep it cool so that it doesn't spoil. Vamet shemeres, or you have a strainer, and kila, or you have a canopy over a bed. Vikise galin, or you have a chair that they would use for in a place called galin, where they made it out of different pieces and they would put it all together. Lo yasav v'masa patra v'lasu. So these things you're not allowed to construct on Shabbos, but if you do, it's patra v'lasu. It's al nisud rabbanon. Ole keva, if you have an oel keva, this is the next category. Lo yasav v'masa chayv chatos, to make an oel kavua. So that you're not allowed to do, and if you do, it's a nisud haraisa. It's chayv chatos. Aval, but then there's a third category. If you have a mita that's already attached and it's just standing up straight, or it's sitting on its side, and you want to put it in the right way so that it's standing on its four legs so you could use it, v'kise traskel, or a chair that the area that you sit on is made out of leather, so when you want to sit on it, you lay out the leather over the four legs of the chair. Va'aslo, or you have a different type of kisei traskel, but the leather that's laid out on it has a hole in the middle, so that a person can go to the bathroom, so it's like a makeshift toilet seat. Mutal and tosan l'chadchila, that not only is it not a nisa d'oraisa, not even a nisa d'rabanan, it's ma'ahil, you're making an ohel, but it's already made, you're just spreading it out in order to sit on it or to lie on it, so that's not considered to be making an ohel. That's how Rashi writes, but Rashi says by the mita, the avagav da hashta of an ohel shari dulo midi avid el yisuva ba'alma. Rashi has such an expression, you're not really doing anything, you're just making it to sit on. What does it mean? You're making it to sit on, now it's becoming usable. What does that mean? It's not really doing anything. So the Behuda and the Tshuva and Madura Tinyana or Chaim Simon Lamed explains Rashi that first he says da hashta of an ohel, and then he says to love midi avid. So what does that mean? Are you doing nothing or are you doing something? So the Yudha explains that even though you are making an ohel, but you're not, it's not an isser because you're not doing it to be meshamish the area underneath it. You're doing it to sit on top of it, and therefore that's less of an ohel than when you make the same structure, but its primary purpose is to use the area underneath it. So if a person, let's say, unfolds a folding table, so the folding table is meant to be used to put things on top of the table, not to protect that which is underneath the table, and therefore that's less of a violation of a CSO. And the Buddha says this in the context of a discussion about opening an umbrella on Shabbos. So the poskim generally were machmir about opening an umbrella on Shabbos. The question is, why to be machmir about opening an umbrella on Shabbos? So in the early poskim, when they talk about opening an umbrella, they clearly had a different kind of umbrella than we had. It involved multiple parts, putting it together, it was some sort of binyan bikli. But in more contemporary poskim, so the issue is either asiyas ohel or uvda d'chol, that you hold it's not really a violation of asiyas ohel because it's all put together already, but it's uvda d'chol. So the Buddha in that context talks about how anything that's meant to protect that which is underneath it is a higher risk of asiyas ohel than anything that, which is only meant for the area above it, to protect that which is above it. The poskim discuss, what about a chuppas chasanim? What about constructing a chuppah? Is that really meant to protect the area underneath? It's not really meant to protect the chasan and kala. It's just to make a structure through which the chasan can be kone the kala. But Pashtus says that's an oel as well, because the whole point is that it's meant to be used underneath. It's not meant to be used on top of it. So anyway, they nosin l'tulia b'shabbos. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to put wine into the mishmeres on Shabbos. So yibaylu shimer mai. Let's say you do actually. Now we're talking about the second melacha. First we spoke about setting up the strainer, whether that's an issa d'oraisa or not. Now we're talking about, let's say you actually use the strainer. Is that an issa d'oraisa or an issa d'rabbanan? So I'm Rav Kana shimer chayiv chatos issa d'oraisa. Chayiv chatos if you do b'shogeg. Mask of sheishes miyikam midi d'rabban mechayiv chatos shavlozal shari lechatchila. Wait a second. The rabbanan are going to say it's so strong that it's even the chayiv chatos and issa d'oraisa, and
And Rabbi Lezra argues in the opposite extreme. He says, "Mutal lechavchila." Do you ever have a machlokas like that, where it's min akotze el akotze? So Maskev Yosef alamalo. Yeah, why not? Harei ir shalzav. We had a machlokas about a certain piece of jewelry called an ir shalzav. Rameir mechayev chatas. Rabbi Lezra shari lechavchila, where Rameir says yechayev chatas nisadoraisa. Rabbi Lezra says not only is it not a nisadoraisa, it's not even a nisamidrabanan. It's mutal lechavchila. So Maihi, where do we find such a machlokas tanaim about an ir shalzav? Titania, way back on Daf Nun Tes on Beis. Lo teitze yishav ir shalzav. We said a woman's not allowed to go out into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos with this piece of jewelry called an ir shalzav. V'im yatzah chayev chatos, and she does, she's chayev chatos divrei Reb Meir. V'chamam lo teitze v'im yatzah p'tura. And the Chacham say, no, patra aval aser. Rabbi Lezer omer yotze yishav ir shalzav l'charchila, that she's even allowed to go l'charchila. So you see that there's a machlokas of extremes, that Reb Meir says it's a chayev chatos, and Rabbi Eliezer holds it's muta l'charchila. Why, you think Rabbi Lezer is commenting on Shitas Rabbi Meir, Damar Chayevs Chatas, Adraban Koi, Damar Patar Vlasar, Vamla Ihu, Mutal Chachila? This is not a machlokas of extremes, because there's a middle Shita. So Rabbi Lezer is not arguing on the other extreme, he's arguing on the middle Shita. That's his foil in this machlokas. So therefore, it's not considered to be an argument in the extremes. Tosus writes, Lo Yoda Rabbi Maika Mashani. So the simple reading of Tosus is that a Bala Tosus is saying that my Rabbi has no idea what in the world this answer really is. Because if the problem is with an argument of two extremes is how could, you know, we understand that Shivim Panim LaTorah, and there are different ways to interpret the Torah, but how could there be such variant opinions within a particular halacha? Well, then this doesn't really answer the question, because there are still such extreme opinions in both directions about this halacha. So that's the girsa that we have in Tosos. That's what Tosos L'chora is trying to ask. However, in Tosa Rush, he suggests that Rameh and Reb Lazar are not really suggesting their own opinions. They're arguing what is the sheet of the Tanakama and what do the Chum disagree with Tanakama about. That Rameh holds that the Tanakama holds Chayev Chatos, and the Chum disagree and say Patra Vlasar. And Rabbi Lezer says, no, Tanakama says Patra Vlasar, and the Chum disagree and they say Mutal Chachila. And that's the Gemara's real answer, that there aren't extreme opinions. It's just the Machlokas, what the Machlokas was. But the initial machlokas between the Tanakam and the Chachamim was within a narrow window. It's either Chayev and Patra Velasar, or Patra Velasar and Mutal Chachila. And that, in that way, we're answering the questions. Okay, so the Gosmar of Ranchburg has a different girsa in our Tosos. He says, no, Tosos doesn't mean to say my Rebbe doesn't know how to touch this up. What Tosos means to say is that Rabbi Meir himself, Lo Yoda Rabbi Meir, my Kamashani, Rabbi Meir was unaware that there was a Shita on the other extreme when he argued to the opposite extreme. Otherwise, he never would have gone that far had he known that there was a Shita all the way on the opposite extreme, which is the third way to understand our Gemara. Okay, says Mar Mishamay Masrin and Bey, when a person is Meshamer on Shabbos, when he strains the wine on Shabbos, what sort of Hasra'a do you give him? The assumption is that you have to give a more specific kind of Hasra'a. Tosfos in Ma'ikatan writes that a person cannot get punished, Malkus, Misa, anything, unless you give him the Hasra'a for the Isser that he's doing, and you have to explain the Shem Ha'Isser that he's violating. The Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Parak Yud Beis, says, V'ketzan Masrumbo, Omelo Prosh, O Al Taseh, because the Aveira that you're doing is going to carry a certain onesh. But you don't have to be more specific than that. You don't have to be mefarish the Isser. According to the Rambam, what's the Gemara's question over here? Mishamay Masrinin Bey. What does it matter? Mishamay Masrinin Bey. You don't have to be specific. So maybe the Gemara is saying that if you give the wrong Isser, if you mention the wrong Malacha, then it's going to be an invalid Asra. So you don't have to get specific. You don't have to mention which Malacha. But don't say, if a guy's about to do Bishul, don't say, hey, you can't do that. You're Rosh Shtei Batei Nirin. No, I'm not. You know, that's totally off. So then that would not be a valid. So Mishamay Masrin and Bay Rabba Amr Misham Borer, that the Malach in question over here is Borer, Zera Misham Merakid, that the Malach in question is Merakid. Amr Rabba Kavasi Didi Mistabra, that it's most Mistabra like me, that it's Misham Borer, Madak, which will Borer not Olech Lemaniach Psalas. Just like everyone knows Borer is that you take the Ochel and you leave aside the Psalas, Av Hachanami not Olech Lemaniach as a Psalas. Over here also, that's exactly what you're doing, and therefore it's a violation of Borer. All the Rishonim jump up and down. What are you talking about? Darko Shal Borer? Is no telus ha'ochel u'meniach es ha'psolas? That's not dark mishal borer. Dark mishal borer is notalus apsolus aminiach es ha'ochel. The heter, the way to do borer b'derech hamutter, is by taking the ochel. Hey, you have a closet full of suits. You pick out the one that you want to wear. That's not borer. That's what you're allowed to do. So Tosus, the Ritva, they all ask this kasha. How could the Gemara say that's called borer? So Tosus says, no, it depends. Is there more psolus or is there more ochel? Whatever is the shorter way to go about it is the violation of borer. That's the derech. And whatever is the longer way to go about it is the not derech of borer. However, the Ritva says, no, the Gemara is just not being so meduyak in its lashon. It means that you're parsing out, you're separating out these two things, but it's just not so meduyak in terms of what you're picking and what you're leaving behind. Okay, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Kavasi Didimistav. Rabbi Zeira says, I think I'm correct. Ma darko shal merakeh psolus milamayla v'ochel milamata. Just like when you sift, the psolus remains on top and the ochel goes down on the bottom of hachanam psolus milamayla v'ochel milamata. Same is happening over here. The psolus is on top and the ochel comes out at the bottom. Rashi points out that Rabba is molded to Rabbi Zeira, that if you give the asra mishum merakeh, it is a valid asra, because ma darko shal merakeh, you can't argue on that. That's a svara nechona. That is absolutely correct, that is a violation of merakeh. But Rabbi Zeira is not molded to Rabba that it's also mishum borer, because the melech of mishamer is not like borer, he would say, because it's not really done in the normal way that borer is regularly done. So Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel. So Rami Bar Yecheskel taught another din about Oel Arai. Talis Kful Layasa. It's also midrabanan to spread out a talis on four pegs in order to sleep underneath it, and the edges of the talis are come down on the sides toward the ground. So they serve as like walls to protect you from the sun. That's a violation of Oel Arai. V'masa Patapar. If you did Patra Avalasa, but if you did it's Patra Avalasa only also midrabanan. If it had a rope attached to it in order to pull it out and to spread it off to the sides, so then you're allowed to spread it on Shabbos l'chadchila, because since you're only being mosif on Ola, right, you're not being also the Ola l'chadchila, so that's going to be mutter. Rav Kana asked the following shayla, kiva mahu, can you make a canopy over a bed on Shabbos? Amalei af mita asura, that even the bed itself is also to set up on Shabbos. So mita mahu, then he asked, okay, can you make a mita on Shabbos? Amalei af kila muteres, even a canopy is going to be mutter. So then he asked, kila umita mahu. This was a confusing conversation. So he said, yeah, wait, let's get this straight. Kila and a mita, what's the halacha? Amalei kila asura mita muteres. Kila's also a mita's mutter. So what just happened over here? Velokash, it seems like a stira. First he asked him about a kila, and he said, it's all usher, kila and mita. Then he asked him about a mita, it's all mutter, kila and mita. Then he asked him about both, one is mutter, one is usher. So velokasha, how the kamenaf mita asura, when he said that even the mita's asura, kid the kamenai, that's the way they would make by the kamenai, that their beds were made of many pieces, and they would have to pull it apart and put it back together. So that you're not allowed to do. When he said that even a kilo is mutter, that's Kedron Bar Yecheskel. That's the way Rabbi Bar Yecheskel taught, that if you have a string and all it is pulling over the string in order to spread it out, so that's where we're going to say that it's mutter. And kilo asura mita muteres kedidan. And when we say that the kilo is asura but the mita is mutter, that's talking about like our beds where the mita is already attached and it's ready standing. It's just that it's sitting on its side or something. You just need to flip it over. So that's mutter to do. And the kilo is made in such a way where there's a tefach already of ohel, but there's no chut or mashicha, there's no rope attached to it, so that you're not allowed to spread out. So Amar Rav Yosef chazinu lo lekila dvei Rav Kahana. We saw the kila of dvei Rav Huna, rather. We saw the kila that was in the house of Rav Huna, the meorta negidu, that on Friday night they would spread it out, and in the morning it was on the ground. So you see that you're allowed to take it apart on Shabbos. So if you're allowed to take it apart on Shabbos, mistama, you're allowed to put it together on Shabbos as well. So now the Gemara discusses spreading a curtain on Shabbos. Am Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia, vilon mutul natoso. A curtain you're allowed to spread out, to block off a doorway on Shabbos, umutul leparko, and you're also allowed to take it apart to remove it, since it's not considered an ohel, since it's not made like a gag, it's just made as like a mechitza, as a wall. Vamar Shmuel Meshum Reb Chiya, and Shmuel taught the name Reb Chiya, kilas chasanim, a canopy of chasanim, mutul lemetosa, you're allowed to spread on top of a bed. This is not like a chuppah like we have, this is talking about over a bed. You're allowed to spread it, umutul leparko, and you're allowed to undo it. Amar Rav Sheis Breid Ravidi lo amar, and el shein begagot tefach. That kilas chasanim, you're only allowed to set up if the roof is less than a tefach wide. But if the roof is more than a tefach wide, then it's also to do so, because then it's considered an oel arai that you're not allowed to make on Shabbos. So frekli gemara v'chiyen begaga tefach nami lo amar nel shein bepachas mishlosh shesamuch legaga tefach. And even when it's less than a tefach wide, it can't even widen out to a tefach within three tefachim of the top of the canopy. Avul yesh bepachas mishlosh shesamuch legaga tefach asur. If it even widens out to a tefach when you get within three tefachim of the top, that's also going to be usher to put together or to take apart. And also, it's only if there isn't b'shipua tefach, which means that it doesn't even widen out at its widest point to two tefachim apart from each other, to the sides two tefachim apart from each other. But if it widens out to its widest point at two tefachim, then it's considered an ohel, and therefore it's going to be asur. Lo amar el de lo nachas mipuri a tefach. And also we only said this din that it's mutter if it's less than a tefach wide, and it's less than a tefach wide even within three tefachim of height, and it's ein b'shipu a tefach. All these this heter, when you meet all these criteria, is only when it doesn't go down beyond the bed a tefach off to the sides. Avul nachas mipuri a tefach. But if it hangs down a tefach on the sides of the mita, asur. It's also to do, because that tefach becomes like a wall to the ohel, and the mita itself becomes the gag of the ohel. So you've now made the mita into an ohel that protects the area underneath it, which has walls hanging off of the sides of the mita, and that itself is going to be aser. So now the Gemara is going to discuss wearing a hat on Shabbos. Not as one mechuyev to wear a hat on Shabbos, as one permitted to wear a hat on Shabbos, meaning the assumption was that their hats had very wide brims, and that might be a problem, to wear a wide-brimmed hat on Shabbos, mishum asiyas ohel. What's the purpose of the brim? You see, sometimes when it's raining outside, a person will come to shul, so sometimes they'll wear like a rain hat or something, and sometimes people put on a baseball cap. So what's the advantage of the baseball cap, other than it looks cooler than one of those rain hats, is that the baseball cap has a long brim, so the rain isn't going to get into your eyes. So it's mamish there to protect your eyes from the sun or from the rain. So Rav Sheish Brid Ravidi, Hai Siyana, if you have a felt hat, Shari, you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. I've eaten Rav Siyana Asur, but didn't we learn that it's Asur to go out with it on Shabbos? Lo Kasha, Hadi Ispe Tefach, Hadi Lespe Tefach. It all depends how wide the brim is. If the brim is a Tefach, then it's Asur to go out with it on Shabbos, because it's Asur Mishum Oel. You're making an Oel by putting on such a hat on Shabbos. And even in your house, you're not allowed to do it. It's not about going out. The Torah writes in some Shin Aleph that you're not even allowed to put such a thing on in your house. You're not allowed to, it's like opening an umbrella in your house. You're not allowed to make an ohel, even in your house, like the case of the bed and the canopy. Whereas if it's less Beit Tefach, it's mutter. El Me'ata. So says Mark, that's the case. Shabbat Beglimi Tefach, if you put your talus over your head and you leave a Tefach extending out beyond your head, Hachinam Dimchayiv, you can tell me it's also to put your talus over your head in such a way where you, let's say you have an Ataras over there, you know, you have it hanging over your head by a tefach, that's going to be also, that can't be. Elo kasha. Hadami hadik, hadalo mehadik. So there's two girsos over here, but first we'll say like Rashi. The reason of the Isser wearing a hat is not Mishum Asiyas Oel. The Isser is to go out with it in Rosh Hashanah, because the Chumrah goes there that if a wind gets a hold of your head and blows it off your head, you're going to end up picking it up and carrying it in Rosh Hashanah. So it's an Isser of carrying it out, of wearing it into Rosh Hashanah in an area that doesn't have an Eruv, because then we're going to be concerned that you're going to pick it up. So when is it mutter? When is it asur? So we say it's mutter when it's mehadik, when it's attached to your head really well. You have like a chin strap on your head or something like that. So that's going to be mutter. But when it's not attached really well, and a little bit of wind will just blow it right off your head. So when you wear a hat on Shabbos with a brim, we know that wind comes. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much of a wind to blow it right off your head, because it's not attached to your head very well. So then it's going to be a violation of this is Nisa Midrabanan, lest you come to carry it on Shabbos. That is how Rashi understands. Rabbeinu Chananel understands differently, and Tosfos over here quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel that even the maskana, the Yisra to go out with a hat, is because of Ohel. The Chiluk in the Gemara, Hadim Hadik Hadalom Hadik, is that if the hat is made in a way that it's very, it doesn't mean attached to your head, it means that it's made hard, that the brim is very hard, then it's considered to be an Ohel. Whereas the brim, if the brim is very floppy, then it's not considered to be an Ohel. That's the Chiluk between them. Okay, Shalach Le'Ram Beri Chesel Rav Huna, Emel Anizi Hanach Mili Ma'al Yisa, Dam Le Mishmei Derav, Tarti B'Shabbos V'Chad De'Betorah. Tell me two nice things about that Rav said about Shabbos and one about Torah. So Shalach Le'Ram Had Tanya, Good B'Kisna Mutal and Tosa B'Shabbos, that which we say that you're allowed to take a leather jug or a leather bag and you're allowed to hang it by its straps on Shabbos, Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ela B'Shnei B'Nei Adam, Avlad Mechad Asa, that's only Mutal to do if two people are setting it up. But if one person is setting it up where he ties one side and then he goes and he ties the other side, so we assume he's going to tie that really tightly, he's going to put that on really well, and that's going to be Asr to do on Shabbos. Amar Rav V'Kila Afilu Basar B'Nei Adam Asr. And Akila, even if you have 10 people doing it, it's still going to be Asr. You have Shadalom Mitzvah Chaporta, because it can't be that it's not somewhat taught and therefore put on really well. Idach Mayhi, tell me the other halacha that he taught, that Rav taught about Hilcha Shabbos, Titania. Kira, if you have a stove, Shenishmata Achas Miyachasel, where one of the legs came off, Mutal Taltala, you're allowed to be Metaltala on Shabbos because it still has three legs, so it could stand like that, so you don't have to worry that you're going to come to attach the broken leg on Shabbos. But Shtayim, if two of the legs came off, Asr, then it becomes Muksi, you're not allowed to be Metaltala because you might attach the broken legs, one of the broken legs. Rav Amar Afilu Chadnami, even if only one leg comes off, Asr, Gzera Shamiyitka, because there's a Gzera that you might attach the leg into the Kira very strongly, and it's going to be a Chi of Mishum Bona. So all of that was about Shabbos. But tell me a third thing that Rav said, something about Torah. So Rav, Torah, Da Amar Rav. The case of Torah is the teaching relating to Torah that Rav taught is that Asid the Torah Shetishtakach Mi Yisrael, that one day the Torah is going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. In the Iyun Yaakov, he writes, is talking about the Zman before Bias HaMashiach, where the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Sadi Zayin, Ein Ben David Ba Ad Shetich Leprutum in a Kis, that there's going to be great poverty before the coming of Mashiach, so no one's going to be able to pay to support yeshivas to learn Torah, Ein Kemach Ein Torah. So that's why there's not going to be Torah knowledge in the Dor Sheben David Ba. And Rabbeinu Bechai, however, in Sefer Devarim, right, it's chas v'sholom to say that it's all about Yimosa Mashiach. The Gemara says earlier in this Masechtan Daf Samach Gimel, Ein Bein Olam Yimosa Mashiach El Shiv Malchus Bilvad. So says Rabbeinu Bechai, Ki Matara Lanu Levanenu Adolam Kol Zman Sholom Azeh Gufni Noig Bnei Yugzeh. As long as there's a Yetzer Hara, there's going to be Torah. This is talking about after Tchias HaMesim, when there's no Yetzer Hara. When there's no Yetzer Hara, there's not going to be Torah, because Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzer Hara, Baruch Lo Torah Tavlin. If there's no Yetzer Hara to battle, then the Torah is not going to be in use to battle the Yetzer Hara. So Torah is going to be forgotten in Israel. Shenemar Avihifla Hashem Es Makosecha, Hafla Azu En Yodeh Mahu. We don't know what this Hafla is referring to. So Kshorom Elchein Hinni Yosef La Hafli Es Amazah Hafli Vafela Haviyomer Hafla Azu Torah, because the pasuk continues Va'avda Chachmas Chachamav Uvinas Nirvonav Tistatar, very clearly referring to Chachma and Bina, things that relate to intellectual knowledge, which is Torah. So the Chachma and the Bina of Torah is going to be gone. So the pasuk of Avihifla Hashem Es Makosecha is also about Torah, that Torah is going to be forgotten. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Kishe Nichnasu Rabban Seinu LeKaren BiAvne. When the Rabban came into Karen BiAvne, Amra Asid the Torah Shetishtakach MiYisrael. They said that one day the Torah will be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Shnemar Hinei Yom Ban, because Navi Amos already prophesizes about this. Hinei Yom Ban Num Hashem Elokim. Days are coming, says Hashem. Yishlachti Rav Baaretz, and there's going to be a famine. Lo Rav Lechem, Lo Tzama Lemayin. People aren't going to be hungry for bread or thirsty for water. Kim Lishma Es Divrei Hashem. They're going to be thirsty to hear the Dvar Hashem. Uksiv v'no'u miyam adiyam v'tzofun v'yam mizrach yishotu l'vakish Dvar Hashem v'lo yimtzo'u. You could travel the lengths and the breadth of the world and you're not going to find the Dvar Hashem. Dvar Hashem zu halacha. Dvar Hashem means you're going to be looking for halacha. You won't find it. Dvar Hashem zu haketz, or to find out the ketz hagolus. Dvar Hashem zu nevuah, to look for nevuah, because there's not going to be any more nevuah in Klal Yisrael. A woman's going to have a loaf of bread of truma. She's going to go where the Talmidei Chachamim are to batik nesias batim drashos to find out if it's tamei or tahar. Vein maven, and no one's going to know imtori imtamei. No one's going to know whether it's tamei or tahar. Vein yodin, vein maven. So it says we're in tahar imtamei. Behediksibei. What do you mean? Mikol achar sheyachel. These are the fairish of psukim. It can't be that there's going to be such ignorance. No, no, she's going to want to know if it's a Rishon L'tum or a Sheni L'tum, and that no one's going to be able to answer. Hanami Masnistani, it's a Mishnah, Kiditan, a Sharon Shinim Sabatanra, Pasha Batoch Shnia, Shatan Rotchila. If you have a Sharet in an oven, the Sharet is an oven, the oven is a Rishon, the bread is a Sheni. So Mistapkulahu, Hadamale Ravad Barava Larava. Let's see, I had to know command the Mal Yatuma to have your Pas Rishona. So the Shaila was, is the Pas maybe a Rishon L'tum? Because we view the entire oven as if it's filled with the sheretz. No, we don't view it that way. The oven becomes a rishon and the pas becomes a sheni. Titanya, yachl, you call a kelim mitamin ba'avir klicheres, that you might think that all kelim become tamei like in an avir klicheres. Tamalomer, kol asher betocha yitma, mikola ocher, and mikola ochal asher yeyachel. Ochlin amashkin mitamin ba'avir klicheres, vein kelim mitamin ba'avir klicheres. That only ochlin amashkin become tamei in avir klicheres, but kelim do not become tamei in an avir klicheres. So you see from there that a klicheres is not viewed as if a sheretz fills up the entire airspace. Because if that were the case, kalim inside the oven should also become tamei, because kalim can become tamei from a sheretz. Elamai, we don't view the oven as if it's entirely filled. The oven becomes a rishon, the food becomes a sheni. Tanya Rav Shimon Yechai Omer, Chas v'sholom shetishkach Torah Yisrael, cannot accept this idea that Torah will be forgotten. Shenomer ki lo tishkach mi pi zaro. Elamai ni mikayim yishotu levakish etzvar Hashem v'leimtzou shlo yimtzou halacha brura mishra brura b'mach mechad. It just means you're not going to find a halacha brura with a clear halacha where there's no machlokas, and a mishnah brura where it's clearly explained b'makom echad in all the places that are mentioned in the pasuk. So you're not going to find it in a single location. But never is it going to be that Torah is going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Ki lo shikachach mi pizaro. So it's already pointed out that ki lo shikachach mi pizaro is sofi tevos yochai. So Reb Shimon bar Yochai, he was known by this teaching that he would never allow ki lo tishakach mi pizaro. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up at the top at the two dots on Kuflam Tesamid Aleph tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.